Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It is hard to overstate just how many of the rules of financial markets are about to change in Europe. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Happy New Year. Tomorrow, European financial markets will play by new rules. For much of this decade, European regulators have been working on a massive, expensive, and controversial project to change the way markets in Europe are run. The resulting legislation has 1.75 million paragraphs of new rules, and they go into effect tonight at midnight. But many companies and countries are not fully ready. Let's turn to the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London to help us understand some of the changes in store. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, David.
So I think like 7 years in the making, what's the idea driving this?
There are a number of objectives behind this legislation to improve investor protection, to improve the alignment of regulation across the European Union in the financial sector. So trying to create a genuinely single market in this particular area, and also to try and promote more competition between financial markets so that they're perhaps a little bit more choice for investors and businesses using financial services to shop around and see where they can get the best service at the best price, whether from Frankfurt, from Paris, or at least for the time being, from London.
Yeah, time being because of Brexit. Now, the idea is if you're going to get the best price, you need some transparency. And there are parts of these vast financial markets, they're a bit opaque. Some of this legislation tries to address that.
Indeed, this is actually one of the big themes in the legislation, and also to try and avoid conflicts of interest. And one example that's got a lot of interest has been charging separately for brokers' research services rather than having it all bundled in with various other kind of asset management services. That's one potentially very important example.
Not everybody's ready. I mean, there are entire countries that have not yet drafted the local laws needed to implement the European-wide rules.
There's an element of that kind of problem here. Some of this is stuff that has direct application in the EU member states. There are two different types of legislation involved, one of which has to be implemented by specific legislative action in each member state. And yeah, that indeed has been quite troublesome. But the other aspect comes into force, whatever, ready or not, with effect from tomorrow.
From tomorrow. All right. We'll continue to watch this unfolding of this massive legislation. Andrew Walker, the BBC's economics correspondent in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Now, if this has excited you to the point that you want to do further reading, you'll need the name for Europe's new rules, MiFID II, Markets in Financial Instruments Directive, MIFID, Roman numeral II. When they deregulated Britain's financial markets in the 1980s, they called it the Big Bang, which, can we all agree, is a term with more verve. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5% on this first trading day of 2018. Dow and Nasdaq futures are up about 0.1% each. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.44%. After the holiday shopping rush comes now, the hours get cut back. Temporary retail workers say their farewells. But this week on the Marketplace Morning Report here, we're looking at a much greater unwinding happening in retail. Big words are attached to this, tectonic shifts, cataclysm even, and for some, opportunity. Today, I want to set the scene by turning to Professor Mark Cohen. He's Director of Retail Studies at Columbia University's Graduate School of Business. Morning, Mark.
Good morning.
More than twice the amount of stores are closing across America than are opening up this year. It's just one statistic. Some see a retail, here's the word, apocalypse. Is that too big a word?
The retail industry at large is just fine. Plenty of customers. They have plenty of disposable income. But inside the business, the legacy players, the department stores, they're the ones who are facing the retail apocalypse, if you will.
And if you're a shareholder, this is of concern, if you're a shareholder in those legacy retailers, but if you work at those companies, you got trouble.
You're an endangered species, if you will. The retail clerk may very well become something of an artifact in the years to come.
Yet, some of the online retailers are hiring like mad. Just look at Amazon. Jeff Bezos, the boss there, quotes these large numbers for the people he's going to bring on board. That should offer some hope to retail people.
The problem is their locations are not nearby where customers and employees are losing jobs. You know, folks who live within 7 miles of a mall shop in the mall and often work in the mall. He's looking for locations that are much more strategically positioned and, of course, much less expensive in terms of space.
So much disruption is in the offing for people who work in retail. That's the theme of this discussion. You'd think this would become a political force.
I imagine it eventually will, but the reason, in my opinion, it has not yet become one is because what's going on in retail is local. It's shopping centers here and there and everywhere laying off dozens of people at a time, not thousands. Of course, the number of retail workers far exceeds the number of coal miners or recent manufacturing employees.
But they're not speaking as one voice.
Well, there's no one representing them. They don't have a champion.
You see a gender issue here, too. I mean, more women than men work in retail.
More women than men, and young people work in retail. This is an entry-level job. It's a job that affords young people tremendous flexibility. It's that famous four-hour-a-day gig at the mall after school. So this dislocation cascades into an issue of gender, age, educational capacity, all sorts of things.
Mark Cohen is Director of Retail Studies at Columbia University's Graduate School of Business. Professor, thanks.
Thank you.
But make no mistake, many of the retail jobs we're talking about are crucial for the livelihoods of families across the country. Later in this series, we'll talk to the president of the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, the UFCW. My colleague Marielle Segarra will also report from a big old warehouse for online merchandise. They call them fulfillment centers. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin in New York. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.